Welcome to the Calgavian, you cocksucking motherfucking dog shit ass cunt bitch.
Hey guys, welcome to ianellis.podbean.com. Sorry, episode's a little bit late. The Zan Man stopped by last night and they had 50 cent shots, so we were turning up. And by the time I got home, I was like, F this shit. I'm not working on the podcast. I didn't even want to record on the way home. Let's start with some comedy news. There's a whole bunch of cool shit coming out. Netflix did the Degenerates with Big J. Okerson, Joey Coco Diaz, Lisa Traeger from Chicago, shout out. Bill Williams, the midget, the little person, the one that hangs out with Steve-O and the Jackass crew. Is he funny or is he just Jackass famous? I don't know. I haven't watched his set yet. The special was terrible. I don't know if they just had flat audiences across the board or if there's this bigger thing of, like, philosophically speaking, the audience of America in general is so caught up in this culture war horse shit that they didn't want to laugh at dirty stuff. They were scared to laugh. I don't know. Big J, you know, he wasn't scared. He stared him down. He did his thing. He didn't get shook at all. He's a dude that I'm a defender. I'm like, no, he's good. You have to see him live. Like, Big J is he's amazing at crowd work. He's like a fucking mutant, and his ability to interweave crowd work shit with material is amazing. He's like the best I've ever seen do that. But he hasn't captured that well in terms of specials. Like, it's hard to catch that magic in a bottle, because when you're shooting a special, there's fucking cameras flying all over the place, and it really breaks up like the intimacy of speaking to a room. And then when he records his CDs, it's like, I don't know, it doesn't capture it quite right. But he's not like a material dude, so it's like, he's one of the greatest comics ever, but he stinks. Because it's hard to show people how good he is. How frustrating is that? He seems to have an audience. he looked good. Lisa Traeger looked a little slappy. Just in the trailer that I saw, not judging, not throwing shade. But I was like, you know, Big J is like an ugly dude, but he looked the best he could for as ugly as he is. I'm like, you're showing yourself to the world. Dress it up. Whatever. I'm being all judgy. Christina P, I got into it with the comedian because he was like, yeah, man, Christina P killed it. And I was like, no. She was terrible. Like, I thought they really should have cut hers from the whole thing because it was like better to do nothing or come back later than to, you know, be terrible. Like, she's all over the place and very pregnant. And I didn't think it was good. And the dude was like, no, she was good. And I was like, no, she bombed. It stinks. And he was like, all right, calm down. I was like, what the fuck? it was like a weird, heated moment. When you're part of the comedy community, I assume it's anything like rappers in the rap community, fucking sports people, Magic the Gathering, whatever fucking dumb group you belong to, whatever your hobby is, mine is comedy. As you're part of that group, you end up taking in these social norms that like gets you, and then you censor yourself. Like, you don't want to say somebody's shit because people get all political about it. And I'm trying to burn those nerves off. I'm trying to get back to reality and telling the truth. And not being like, I don't want to say that comic sucks because then people will be mad at me. It's like, well, then you're being dishonest. And people should be able to take criticism. But it's sensitive times, and I played the game for a long time, and it's a struggle, man. It's a struggle to get rid of those, like, self-censorship moments. One dude came up to me, and he was like, Ian, I just gotta know, seriously, dude, are you a liberal? And I was like, what the fuck? Like, in my head, I was like, the fuck does this have to do with funny? And I didn't know what to say. I don't fucking follow anything. I used to have a joke, like, my politics are to the left of nihilism, but I really don't pay attention. Just don't hurt anybody. Hurt yourself all you want. Do whatever fucked up shit you want to do to you, but just don't hurt other people. And try to be fair in business? I don't know. I was like, I guess I'm like a 90s liberal, which feels conservative now. But I should have just said, like, what the fuck are you talking about? Let me pull up my notes here. In other comedy news, there was an A&E special called Culture Shock. KB turned me onto this, and they did an episode about Chris Rock's Bring the Pain. It's like one of the all-time best comedy specials of all time. Like, perfect time, perfect place. Dude went platinum like a rapper. Like, it was rapper good. Platinum selling artist or whatever. He was the man. And usually they do these things and you get a little behind the scenes, what he was thinking about, what was leading up to it. And then you get just a bunch of comics ball washing and talking about how great it is and how that person's an influence or whatever. This one made me so mad. They get these comedians to come on here and talk about how important this special is and how much it meant to them and how many doors Chris Rock opened. And all of them look at it with 2018 eyes. And they're like, oh man, that joke is problematic. I wish you would have changed the wording of that. Oh, can't do that today. It was all very judgy. Like, 1 minute they'll be saying, like, he got as big as he did because he crossed the line. Like, he went up to the line, he tap danced on it. This was edgy. And at the same time, they're like, and don't be edgy. And don't do what he did. Don't even attempt it. Because it's against the rules at this point. And there are no rules. Get that shit out of your head. It's, we're all just floating through space. Duncan Trussell would say we're astronauts in a fucking meat suit, man. Fucking. Yeah, I don't like that guy. I used to like him a lot. I thought he was at least fun. But he's terrible at stand-up. And I don't know if he's spiritual as much as he is a drug addict. I know the two go hand in hand, but it's like, I don't catch him talking about how he's growing in his spiritual journey. I just catch him quoting stuff and talking about eating mushrooms. I'm like, that's not the spiritual path. Again, I'm being so judgy. I'm such a dick in my old age. I'll talk about my own little spiritual thing here. I'll give you the real. Shout out to Brother Cosmic Cam. So I'm like a Buddha, Hindu type, whatever the fuck this is, chasing after enlightenment. And a big part of it is, like, I always say, like, karma is not what happens to you. It's how you react to the things that happen to you. And you don't have to be affected by things. You can let it go. You're an eternal being made out of light. You can let go. None of this matters. So when you're working on that, you're trying to develop it. One way is you just run away from the world. And you go sit Indian style in a fucking temple with a bunch of Asian people. And you wear blanket sheets instead of clothes. And shave your head and don't talk to people. And I guess that's good because then it's like the only person you have to deal with is you. So if you're having a shitty mood, you have to confront that is your karma, that you are putting yourself in a shitty mood. Is you can't even blame it being untriggered on other shit. So you got to deal with you in a very intimate way. And that's a difficult thing to do. But the other way you kind of work on getting to this place where you're not affected by things is to be in the world. Just live a regular ass life. They call that Dharma yoga, which I think is like a repetitive term. I think Dharma is like your path, and then yoga is like the practice of the path. The path and the practice of the path. So being in the world is like, as people are confronting you with whatever their emotional bullshit is, can you be present enough in the moment to not be sucked in to whatever it is they're selling? Like, when people are mad, it's like they're fishing. They're throwing out a hook and they're like, I'm mad. Will you join me and join me in anger? Will you get as angry as I am? Because it's okay to be mad, right? Like, you be a dick, so it's okay for me to be a dick, because we're all assholes and everybody's terrible. And you don't have to get sucked into it. People could be as mad as they want to be, and you just look at them like, you're like a child throwing a temper tantrum. You're like a little kid not getting his way, but you're 40, 50? How fucking old are you? You acting like a little kid? Why are you mad? What are you mad about? That's what I want to ask people. I'm like, what's going on? Come on, tell me. Something's going on at work. What's got you all riled up? I had that with a customer that was like mean mugging me and being mean. I was like, what's going on, man? Like, every time you come in here, you got all this attitude. What's happening? Like, let's smile. And you're not supposed to like tell women to smile. I guess it's like sexist or some horse shit now. But Jerry Seinfeld was in an interview, and a woman was asking him about, you know, women in comedy, problematic horse shit. And he called it honey. And she's like, you just called me honey. And he's like, yeah. Yeah, I did. That's what I do. I am. No disrespect. I love Seinfeld's gangster. Anyway, I was dealing with this chick. And I was like, why? Let's just work it out. And she was like, I think you always have attitude. I was like, all right, I'm sorry. I don't know what's going on here, but let's have a fresh start. And we smiled, and then she was nice to me. Nice from that point on. It's great when you can catch yourself in those moments, and it's like anything else. It takes a fuckload of practice. When you first start trying to do it, you're going to get it wrong. And don't be like deterred when you're like, God damn it, I got angry. I guess I just fucking suck at this. I shouldn't do this anymore because I got riled up. You just do the best you can and be aware of it. And first it'll just be like, after something happens, you realize you didn't have to be affected by it. And then as it's happening, you start realizing like, oh, this is one of those moments where I should just let it go. I should just detach. Let this person be on whatever fuck shit they're on. And then the deeper level of it is like really just sitting there and being present and allowing them to work out their own karma without letting it creep into your head. Like, you want to be mad, be mad. Like, you don't have to say dickish things. You don't poke them. You just, you know, bless them and send them on their way. Thank you for helping me with my karma. I hope you find peace on your journey. Keep that shit in your head, sweetie. And that can be hard because sometimes, like, people that you're close to will be freaking out and, like, you want to help them and, you know, help them be better. But it's, like, it's better to just let them work their shit out themselves than to sit there and try and problem solve and get sucked into whatever drama they're enacting. Pettiness, angerness, depression, jealousy, whatever the fuck shit that person has going on, is relax, sit your confidence, be in your righteousness, and let them go through that shit. Be as supportive as you can, but let them figure that shit out. It's very frustrating because you want other people, you want to be like, hey, just be here present with me right now. Like, let's just calm it down. All right, just be here. It's not that bad. You and me, we're right here. We're just floating through space. Let's relax and not worry about these problems. Because I know for me, like, part of my karma yoga is like having a day job or a straight job or whatever it is. I used to work really, really hard, and I would feel this pressure, like a physical pressure in my body. I'd be sweating, angry, working hard as could be. And now I've learned to just do the task and not have any emotion about it, not have any thought about it, just do it. And I get just as much shit done, but I don't feel that pressure. I don't feel all stressed out. It doesn't bug me when I'm being interrupted. Which, speaking of which, the tonight's topic, let me look it up. Tonight's topic is the Zargonic effect. I'm sure I'm pronouncing that wrong. I saw a YouTube video about this. I thought it was interesting. I want to talk about it in stand-up. I'm trying to just do more silly, fun stuff these days. But I was like, this is a dope idea. I want to present it. Like, I like presenting people with new ideas. And I tried my best, but I don't think it was really a banger. I might try it two or three more times. But like, I hate it when comics turn into a TED Talk. I'm not trying to do that. And I say it's better to, like, teach the lesson or give the example than it is to just give people new vocab. You don't want people walking out of there like, I know that word now. You also just don't want to be boring. And it's like, if I can't make it fun, I don't have to prove nothing. I don't have to stress it out. I just let it go. If it comes back, it comes back. But this Zargonic effect is your mental, your cognitive way of going through the day. Each time you have a new task, you open up a loop in your head. And when the task is done, the loop closes. So their first example was like waiters and waitresses. If you ask them what a table ordered while the order was being put together, they had tremendous recall. But the moment the order was set down, they couldn't remember who had what. So it was like the loop opened up when they had to get the task done. And then once the task was done, the loop closed and all the information attached to it just went out the window because it's no longer essential information. And you open up these loops all the time. Going to the store, got to get some milk. Got to brush my teeth. Got to do A, B, and C. But we also, I think, the CEO has been talking about, like, Trump is making people malfunction. Like, they're glitching out. They're calling them NPCs now. The NPCs are glitching out. They're breaking down. And I think part of that is that people go on their social media and they see all these triggers for political shit. You know, Trump this, Trump that, transgender, gay people. People got shot up, this, that, and the other. And loops are opening up, opening up, opening up. It's also probably more petty stuff. It's like, so-and-so got a promotion. So-and-so's husband is being a dick. So-and-so is depressed. And it's loops opening, opening, opening. And you're just opening hundreds of loops a day. And how do you close them with that information that you're taking in? Like you, maybe you make a comment. And if you get a like or a retweet, maybe that closes the loop. But what if you post something and then nobody responds? And then, like, does that loop just stay open and eat away at you? Like, nobody saw it. Why did nobody read it? Am I wrong? Nobody's responding. Is this just opening up more, like, insecurity and anxiety loops? And I hate it when people, like, kind of figure something out and they're like, this is the cause of everything. I think this is part of it. Like, they say that the way Facebook and Twitter are set up is like a constant dopamine drip tube. So it's like getting you high, getting you high, getting you high. And I, you know, people heard that and they're like, well, this explains everything. This is why our culture no longer has an attention span. And it's a large variety of things. It's never one thing. It's always a dozen things. And the one you least suspect is the worst of all of them. But I think this sardonic effect, and the dopamine things is playing into people malfunctioning because they're just so triggered. I don't know if I said it in my set or not, but I read this line in 50 Cent's book, The 50th Law of Power. It's one of those things I'm just mining for information. I was a super nerd this week. And there's a line in one of the chapters where they're like, they're passive consumers of power. And I was like, that's social media. That's, you're not actually exercising any real power or doing anything that matters. When you're voicing your opinion or hashtagging and retweeting whatever horseshit you think you have an opinion about, you feel like you're participating in the power circle, in the power drama, but you have nothing to do with what goes on in reality. That's my thought on it. I don't know where the social media horseshit meets actual change. Like, there is some level where people are losing their jobs and shit's getting canceled and people are being fired and rehired, this, that, and the other. So it's doing something, but I don't know what's the key difference between the what's doing something and what's just fucking people jerking themselves off online. I need a little bit more distinction and who's doing what. Because I think most of it is pointless bullshit and people just trying to close loops in their head. Anyway, I tried to talk about that in my stand-up tonight. A line I meant to get off. I thought it was a joke last week. I was so mad I didn't say it. It was, I hate the news because they make it seem like racism is the only reason you would ever shoot a black guy. Like, there's plenty of other reasons. Not all the cops are racist. You know, self-defense, if they're evading arrest, they get your order wrong at McDonald's. There's all kinds of reasons. I really like that premise, and hopefully I'll think of some better shit to make that more into a dumb one-liner. We have new series coming out, me and Fatback. Fatback's out of jail, and each week we're going to take a minute of my material, and he's going to animate it in some way or cut together animation or pictures or something. We dropped the first one today. It's on With Apologies. It'll be on all the rest of my social media as soon as I figure out how to do that. Maybe I'll do that tomorrow. The show's not going to be on for the next 2 weeks. I'm going to Florida. I'm going to kick it with Ross Dog and possibly Producer Jay from the RDA LLC With Apologies. And we'll probably record some shit while we're out there hanging out. And I won't get a chance to upload it till I get back. So probably be no episodes for 2 weeks and then a whole bunch of episodes at one time. With Apologies is every Sunday at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, Chicago time. We go live. Come join in the chat. You can join in the Discord. We like your participation. This guy is Sam Hill. He writes paragraphs in all the comment sections. And he's like a news reporter for our little universe. And it's great. So everybody should go find the YouTube videos just so you can read Sam Hill's comments. It's like the newspaper on our little universe. Part of our universe is the Cult of Black Phillip YouTube channel, which is huge, low-key, and we've kind of just left it be as its own thing. It was a memorial to Patrice, like trying to really get all of his shit organized so people could go through it and find the information, and we haven't done anything because we ran out of shit to put on there. We are going to be doing some shit on there in the future, and it's going to be weird, and people are going to be mad, and you should come subscribe to the channel and watch just so you can see the comment sections, because it's going to be chaos for a little bit. it's going to be a Buckley transition. But we're going for it. We're going to have some fun. I don't know what the schedule is. Sometimes I know about things weeks and months in advance. And who the fuck knows when we're going to pull the trigger. But the plans are in the works. All right, so coming up after this, I cut together some little bits of the 50th Law of Power and this Zargonic effect, and also part of an interview with Dave Chappelle and Jon Stewart and CNN. And I'll talk about this real quick. It's really made me mad. Like, those two are going on tour. That'd be cool, I guess. Like, Jon Stewart was always good about bringing it back to the funny and not really playing too much for one team or the other. But after he left, all of his clones are like, they're now part of the establishment. They're part of the system. They've been co-opted. They're compromised. and it stinks. It's contributing to everybody being so shitty and weird. So he's going on tour. He got a little extra after The Daily Show, but we'll see. I think Dave Chappelle hopefully mellow him out, because he's a very moderate dude who likes bringing you back to reality. So they're on CNN talking about the report, and the reporter just is like, so why do you hate Trump? How long have you hated Trump? Do you regret saying this pro-Trump thing? It was all hot takes to try and get them to shit all over Trump. But I was like, God damn, like, they're just dripping with bias. Like, it wasn't, what's it about? How'd you get together? These non-biased questions. It was like pointed questions. So tell me why Trump sucks. And I don't know shit about Trump, but I know that that qualifies you as fake news. And when you're compromised... It's like, why the fuck should we listen to you? Like, now I know Trump is telling the truth. He's right. You are fake news. You're terrible. You get everything wrong. And we're really seeing it with Trump and with Kanye. Charlamagne the God went on the Stephen Colbert Report, and he talked about how he canceled a meeting with Kanye, and the audience applauded. Like, yay! Like, the fuck? Everybody hates Ye now? That's what you're telling me? Everybody hates you, and you love Charlamagne. You know he raped that kid, right? But it's that narrative that Kanye's crazy and Kanye's a Republican. It's not what he's saying. And it's getting to the point where people are getting applause breaks for not liking Ye. And it's so depressing to watch. I knew it was bad. I didn't know it was that bad. And I hope more people are watching this and just be like, ugh, You people are terrible. You stink. This is showing you who stinks at their job. Who's going to keep it real? So I took a couple clips from that and threw it in there. And it all kind of sort of makes sense. I didn't have that much time to work on it. Because I'm a dad. And that shit takes up a lot of time. Best and worst thing that'll ever happen to you. I thought I worked hard before. I was on vacation previous to this. Having kid is a job and a half. Goddamn. So here's my set. I talk about the Jewish synagogue shooting. The joke I make on stage, the first line of it I'd put up as a tweet, and then I took a picture of that and I put it on my Instagram, and I got in trouble on Instagram. They told me that they have rules and guidelines, and my joke was not appropriate. My Twitter is at Chicago Open Mic. I'm banned from that. I can't get on it, but it's just out there. I'll never see if you post or tweet anything to me. But then there's also the With Apologies Twitter, at With Apologies, and I am behind that. I'm one of the men with a password. So guys, stay tuned. Black Phillip, With Apologies, RDA LLC. Shout out to Kyle Sains, Unbleached, the Griggy Man, and I'll be back in a couple weeks. All right, y'all. Peace.
It's usually 5 minutes. It is 4 minutes now. It's been a long list. Four minutes is reiterated. Guys, with that, welcome to stage. Your next comic, Mr. Ian Ellis.
Yeah, blew your dice down, bro.
Bunch of Jews got shot this week.
What happened to it?
Well, you guys sad about
that? Give it to me.
No, I said it.
There's no word yet on how much the victims' families will be selling the bullets for. I'm trying to recruit from a lot of losses.
That's just really
weird. These Jews sure have a hard time in life, huh? Read the Bible and God hated them. Tried to flood them, sold them into slavery. They were not his chosen people. Then all the pharaohs put them in slavery. And then the Germans tried to kill them. And then Mel Gibson. 4chan's not fans. I'm not anti-Semitic, but sometimes... It's like, how many people have to tell you somebody's shitty before you're like, maybe I shouldn't talk to that guy? Like, historically, they don't have a great rap. The pharaohs of Egypt hated them. Are you ready to say that those black people are racist?
Nice. Nice.
You ever think of like Nefertiti having something in common with the alt-right? You know, when schools get shot up, they're like, we should give guns to the teachers. Should we start giving them to the rabbis and the priests? I don't know if I'm comfortable giving Muslims guns to protect themselves.
That's funny.
It's terrorism.
Facts.
I learned this week that when you start a task, it opens a loop in your brain. When you complete the task, the loop gets closed. But if you don't close that loop, it just turns into thought cancer and haunts you until you die. When you go to the store to get some milk and you forget about it, the rest of the night your brain's like, hey, remember when you went to the store? What'd you get there, Funyuns? What'd you go for, milk? Guess how much your life's gonna be fucked up for the rest of the week. Guess what you're not having for breakfast, cereal. You don't have time to stop and get milk and it haunts you. Tears you apart till you close that fucking loop. Which is scary, because now Facebook, all that does is open new loops constantly. I think this is what's glitching people out. You go on there and you're like, Trump did what? How come Karen feels that way? I'm trying to, Karen, she works in accounting. And Facebook's fucked up because it makes the personal political. You think you're a regular person, but then you say some shit, and it's like, you're the front lines for Black Lives Matter. Like, I know 3 black people. Why am I defending this?
Me too.
Kanye West got in trouble every day last week. Charlamagne the God went on Stephen Colbert and he's like, I canceled my appointment with Kanye. And everybody cheered. They're like, yay! Fuck Kanye! Charlamagne raped a teenager. You telling me fucking kids is better than meeting with the president? Fuck that guy! All right, my name's Zerella, so let me get real.
Yeah. One more time for Ian Ellis.
I love you.
Oh, you guys got to
check out my shirt.
One more time, Ian Ellis.
You're awesome.
Not apology.
Keep it going, Brian Egerton.
Yeah. That shit is raw, bro.
Super lucky.
Yeah.
Knowledge seems unnecessarily boring. Learning should be fun, fast, and easy.
On the internet, we can make instant connections, skimming along the surface from one subject to the next.
We come to value breadth of knowledge over depth, the power to move here or there, rather than digging deeper to the source of a problem and finding out how things tick. Science and the scientific method are very powerful and practical pursuits of knowledge that have come to dominate much of our thinking for the past few centuries. But they have also spawned a peculiar preconception that to understand anything, we must study it from a distance and with a detached perspective. To study them from the outside is merely a prejudice, often one stemming from fear. Dealing with people's experiences and subjectivity is messy and chaotic. Distance is cleaner and easier. This can best be gained by an intense involvement and participation, as opposed to the pseudo-scientific pose of the intellectual, addicted to studies, citations, and numbers, all designed to back up their preconceptions. This other form of knowledge, from the inside, must be the one that you come to esteem above all others in social matters. In such an atmosphere, charlatans sprout like weeds. They offer the age-old myth of the quick transformation, the shortcut to power, beauty, and success, in the form of books, CDs, seminars, ancient secrets brought back to life, and they find many suckers on which to prey.
Is the Trump era a good era for comedians? Is it just unbelievable fodder? Or not?
I would not even name the era after him.
Yeah.
He's getting too much credit.
Well, he's the president?
He's not making the wave, he's surfing it.
This new pattern of thinking and learning is not progress. It creates a phenomenon that we shall call the short circuit.
That is, if there's an objective that we committed ourselves to pursue, an open loop, we're highly motivated to close that loop in order to escape the intrusive thoughts and feelings it causes. Now, these objectives can be incomplete narratives, unanswered questions, unresolved problems, or unachieved goals.
When people are so distracted, their minds constantly moving from one thing to another, it becomes increasingly difficult to maintain concentration on one thing for a few hours, let alone for months and years. Under this influence, the mind will tend to short circuit. It will not be able to go all the way to the end of a task. It will want to move on to something else that seems more enticing. It becomes hard to make things well when the focus is broken. Alone, in our minds, we can imagine we have all kinds of powers and abilities. Our egos can inflate to any size. But when we produce something that fails to have the expected impact, we are suddenly faced with a limit. We are not as brilliant or skilled as we had imagined. In such a case, our tendency is to blame others for not understanding it or getting in our way. Our egos are bruised and delicate. Criticism from the outside seems like a personal attack, which we cannot endure. We tend to close ourselves off, and this makes it doubly difficult to succeed with our next venture. Instead of turning inward, consider people's coolness to your idea and their criticisms as a kind of mirror they are holding up to you. A physical mirror turns you into an object, you can see yourself as others see you. Your ego cannot protect you.
Your ego cannot protect you.
Protect you.
The mirror does not lie. You use it to correct your appearance and avoid ridicule. The opinions of other people serve a similar function. You view your work from inside your mind, encrusted with all kinds of desires and fears. They see it as an object. They see it as it is.
As it is.
Through their criticisms, you can get closer to this objective version and gradually improve what you do. We live in our heads, with the same thoughts and ideas over and over, cocooned from the outside world. When we are confronted with people or individuals who have different values and belief systems, we feel threatened. Our first move is not to understand them, but to demonize them, that shadowy other. Alternatively, we may choose to look at them through the prism of our own values and assume they share them. We mentally convert the other into something familiar. They may come from a completely different culture, but after all, they must want the same things we do.
This is a failure of our minds
to move outward and understand, to be sensitive to nuance. Everything must be white or black, clean or unclean. Understand, the opposite approach is the way to power in this world. It begins with a fundamental fearlessness. You do not feel afraid or affronted by people who have different ways of thinking or acting. You do not feel superior to those on the outside. In fact, you are excited by such diversity. Your first move is to open up your spirit to these differences, to understand what makes the other tick, to gain a feel for people's inner lives, how they see the world. In this way, you continually expose yourself to wider and wider circles of people, building connections to these various networks.
Know your environment from the inside out. Connection. Most people think first of what they want to express or make, then find an audience for their idea. You must work the opposite angle, thinking first of the public. You need to keep your focus on their changing needs, the trends that are washing through them. Beginning with their demand, you create the appropriate supply. Do not be afraid of people's criticism. Without such feedback, your work will be too personal and delusional.
Delusional.
And it's always, you know, foundational.
Yeah.
They were
the
talking
crazy.
All he does is sing those people's greatest hits. Build a wall, all these things we've heard before. He just sings all the songs. He's the only one that has been brash enough to do it.
You must maintain as close a relationship to your environment as possible, getting an inside feel for what is happening around you. Never lose touch with your base.
Over time, in any group, conventions and protocol will assume greater importance and govern people's behavior. The larger the group, the more conservative it will tend to become, and the greater this force of inertia. The paradox is that this defensive, passive posture has a depressing effect on morale, much like sitting in one place for too long will lower your spirits. More than likely, you rose to the top by virtue of your boldness and desperate desire to get ahead.
Any guy that can do a body slam, he's my kind. He's my guy.
You took risks that made you rise to the occasion with all of your energy and creativity. And this fearless spirit attracted positive attention. The group inertia will naturally tend to tamp all of that down and neutralize the source of your power. Since you are the leader, you are the one who can alter this and set a pace that is more alive and active. You remain the bold and enterprising knight. You force yourself to initiate new projects and domains to conquer. You take proactive measures against possible dangers on the horizon. You seize the initiative against your rivals. You keep your group marching and on the offensive. This will excite them and give them a feeling of movement. You are not taking unnecessary risks, but simply adding a dash of aggression to your normally staid group. They become used to seeing you out in front and grow addicted to the excitement you bring with each new campaign.